So the top five are in Caltag right now. Laura, if we look at the current sheet that we have in front of us, one thing that really does stand out is Martin Boozer's time en route from Eagle Island to Caltag. His was about 11 hours and 43 minutes, so if we want to round that up, about a 12-hour run there. But if we look at Mitch Seavey, followed by Aaron Burmeister, and then Jacob Berkowitz, as well as Jesse Royer, we're looking at anywhere from about 9 to 10 hours to do that run. So Martin Boozer has the slowest time en route from Eagle Island to Caltag, and looking at his speed, he has the lowest speed so far as well. So there is speculation, you know, is he slowing down a little bit? Is he losing some gas? We're going to eventually find out soon enough. You know, the race gets onto the coast here shortly, and things will probably start to leapfrog a little bit here and there, and the race is on, as they say.
That's right. You know, I was reading on Sebastian Schnula's blog. He's following this race on his snow machine, and he was commenting, just arriving into Caltag today as well, about the condition of the trail leading into Caltag. The wind has blown in the trail quite a bit, so he put some pictures up as well, and it was really hard to tell exactly where the trail was, and he said that it was pretty rough. So Martin Boozer was traveling that with the wind, and we'll talk about the weather a little bit later in our update, but it's all playing a part, and it sounds like his trip had some of the worst conditions
exactly.
compared to the others.
It seems like Mother Nature's throwing everything, rain, maybe some snow and then rain, maybe
right.
some snow and then blowing snow, maybe some snow and some overflow, some crusty snow. I mean, whatever the case may be, they've faced it out there so far. And you're right. You know, Martin Boozer, he's the lead of the pack. He probably broke some trail going into Caltag, which therefore could result in a longer time and so forth and so on. So you gotta take that into consideration. And I'm just going to piggyback on the trail talk that you just commented on. You know, on Iditarod.com, Joe Runyon is reporting and doing some blog work. And he basically said the Eagle Island to Caltag trip has been reported by many people as simply being like mashed potatoes. So are you hungry? So our top five are in Caltag at this stage in the game.
And just outside of Caltag, according to Iditarod.com's GPS, Allie Zirkel was taking a rest, and it looks like she's back on the move. She left Eagle Island this morning at 5:51 with her team of 13 dogs, and so She's probably expected into Caltag shortly. Followed by Yor Olsom, the lead rookie in this race so far. He checked out of Eagle Island this morning at 7:04, dropping a dog there. Nicholas Petit, right following him just an hour later, also dropped a dog in Eagle Island. Left there this morning at 8:10 with a team of 11. Followed by Lance Mackey at 8:35, also down to a team of 11 dogs. Ray Reddington Jr. is in 10th position right now, left Eagle Island this morning at 10:10 with a team of 12, followed by Dallas Seavey just 5 minutes later at 10:15 with his team of 10 dogs. Didi Genro is in 12th position, left Eagle Island this morning at 10:22, leaving a dog there. She's down to a team of 11. All of this huge group of mushers, as you said, really close together, just kind of traveling up the river towards Caltag. Jeff King is in 13th position, pulled out of Eagle Island this morning at 10:43. He dropped a dog there as well, down to a team of 14. Ken Anderson in 14th position, pulled out of Eagle Island at 10:59, down to a team of 11 dogs. Paul Gebhardt in 15th position, left at 10 minutes after 11 this morning with his team of 12. John Baker also dropped a dog in Eagle Island this afternoon. He left 1 minute after noon with heading to Caltag. And Pete Kaiser from Bethel, also on that trail from Eagle Island to Caltag, left this afternoon at 2:10 with a team of 10. He dropped two dogs in Eagle Island this afternoon.
Five mushes are in Eagle Island, including Sunny Lindner in 18th position, arriving at 5:09 this morning with 12. At 9:05 a.m. with 14 dogs, Sim Smith arrived in 19th position. In 20th, Michelle Phillips at 12:02 this afternoon with 16. Josh Kadzow in 21st position, arriving at 12:23 this afternoon with 11 dogs. He has yet to take his 8-hour mandatory layover on the Yukon. Michael Williams Jr. in 22nd position, arriving at 12:41 this afternoon with 12 dogs.
And that brings us to a group of 13 mushers who are on the trail from Grayling to Eagle Island, heading up the river. That group is led by Brent Sass. He left Grayling this morning at 5 o'clock with 11 dogs. Robert Bunsen in 24th position pulled out just 3 minutes later with his team of 15. Matt Fahler in 25th position left this morning at 5:08 with 11 dogs. Ramey Smith in 26th position left Grayling this morning at 6:29 with his team of 12, followed by Kelly Griffin in out of Grayling this morning at 10:10. Jessica Hendricks in 28th position pulled out of Grayling this morning at 11:34. Alan Moore in 29th position left Grayling this afternoon at 1:03 with 14 dogs, and Kelly Maxner left Grayling at 2:46 this afternoon, also with a team of 14. Also among that group, heading on the trail from Grayling to Eagle Island, Jim Lanier left at 4:22 late this afternoon with his team of 13 dogs as well. Several of those mushers have yet to take their 8-hour layover, including Robert Bunsen, Kelly Griffin, Aaron Peck, Jim Lanier, all of them heading towards Eagle Island or Caltag. Those are the last two checkpoints along that stretch of trail where they will have the option to fulfill that mandatory Yukon 8-hour layover.
Nine mushers are in Grayling, including Jason Mackey in 38th position. He arrived there at 11:35 this morning with 12, has yet to declare an 8-hour mandatory layover on the Yukon. He will do that somewhere, I'm sure, before he reaches the coast. You gotta. And then Mike Williams is senior in 39th position at 11:40, and he got into Grayling with 14 dogs. If we move on down the line there a little bit, in 41st position, Richie Deal arrived in Grayling at, looks like 3:10 this afternoon with 13 dogs.
And that brings us to a group of three mushers who are on the trail from Anvik headed to Grayling, including Rudy Domoski Sr. He left Anvik this afternoon at 3:45 and dropped a dog there in Anvik.
And two are out of Shagaluk, in 48th position, Gerald Sousa, and then 49th, Jody Bailey, left this afternoon.
There is a group on the trail, lots of action this afternoon. On the trail headed from Iditarod towards Shagaluk, it's a group of seven mushers, including Louis Ambrose. He left this morning at 7:35 from Iditarod with his team of 14.
Three are in Iditarod at this moment, including in 60th position, Jan Steves, arriving into Iditarod at 1:30 this afternoon with her 15 dogs.
And the last two mushers on the trail, including the Red Lantern, Cindy Abbott, left Ophir this evening just at 5:25 with a team of 14. That is incorrect.
It was last night.
Last night.
Yeah,
left
last
Ophir.
Night. At 7:25.
7:25.
With 14 dogs. All these numbers and stuff get kind of wonky after a while when you look at a string of 62 mushers straight away down the line. Well, back to really what's taking place, I suppose, in the front of the pack here. You know, they're all, we have five mushers that are in Caltag at this point. Again, I can review in first position, Martin Boozer, followed by Mitch Seavey. In third, Aaron Burmeister. Fourth, Jake Berkowitz. And fifth, arriving just about 4:30 or so, just shy of 4:30 this afternoon, Jessie Rohrer with her 12 dogs. Jessie has yet to take her 8-hour mandatory layover on the Yukon, and the only other place she can do so is Caltag. That's the last checkpoint on the Yukon. So I'm assuming she's going to be taking that 8-hour in Caltag, starting at, 4:24. So, again, we have an interview with Martin Boozer arriving into Caltag this afternoon with Lorelei Kinnean. And let's take a look at the trail and also some weather to expect in the coming hours, if not coming days, I guess.
Sure. Again, going back to Sebastian Schnulis' blog from Iditarod.com, he said late this afternoon when he posted, he said the winds were about 15 miles an hour. But it looks like as the night progresses, the winds are supposed to die down. In the forecast for tonight, it says winds less than 5 miles an hour. So that's going to turn out probably for the benefit of the mushers who are still on the move. Chance of snow of 70% with accumulations up to 2 inches, with temperatures around 12 degrees. So obviously a big cool off from the temperatures that the mushers have been experiencing up to this point in the race. I'm sure they're feeling relief from that. Tomorrow in Caltag, overcast with snow showers in the morning, mostly cloudy with snow in the afternoon. Again, calm winds, temperatures up to 27 degrees, 60% chance of snow. Sounds pretty calm, a little bit warm, but not too bad. And in Unalakleet, tomorrow, they're looking at a high of 19 with some winds from the southwest at 10 to 15 miles an hour, also with a chance of snow. So nothing too severe, but definitely as they head towards the coast, winds are always a factor. So it looks like that's going to be part of what they're dealing with there. As far as the trail goes, nothing too significant to report. It's a very well-traveled trail. In the Iditarod, from Iditarod.com, it describes the trail from Caltag to Unalakleet as a snow machine highway. So probably pretty packed and traveled. Hopefully not a lot of trail breaking going on there. But the first person to reach Unalakleet will win the First to the Coast Award. It's a trophy and $2,500 in gold nuggets.
Yeah, and I guess it all just depends on that weather. You know, that Caltag Unalakleet is a pretty long trail, as you just mentioned, Laura, 85 miles or so. So the transition from the inland river on the Yukon, that kind of environment, we're going to transition into the coastal environment. There's some things that people can do, obviously, or mushers can do or consider. Some people like to break it up. There's the tripod flats cabin that's some mushers like to take advantage of on that stretch. Also, the old woman cabin is another option as well. So those are some things to look forward to from Caltag to Unalakleet, seeing how that's broken up to each individual musher strategy and race plan. I had a chance to kind of dive into some Alaska Dispatch articles, and one in particular from Zach Steer, who is a veteran of the Iditarod Sled Dog Race, and some comments that he made that maybe I'll just throw out there for something just to kind of think about and see how that applies to the race. He indicates that teams generally don't get faster as the race goes on. Typically, they kind of settle into a steady trot. So to gain time, you know, to get from point A to point B or to get faster, and I use that in quotes, you have to cut rest somewhere. That's his point of view, and we can see if that's going to play out significantly on the coast here. And also, we might start seeing what Aaron Burmeister earlier on in the week started calling race size teams. We might start seeing something of that nature. I don't know what a race size team is. It 10 dogs? What's the magic number? I think every musher probably has their particular size they like to work with as they get on the coast. But we might start seeing some teams being pared down a little bit, not because the dog is sick or injured. It's just simply the musher wants to compile the best team they can have in order to race onto the coast and then get to White Mountain and take their 8-hour mandatory layover and see what plays out from there. So those are just some of the kind of things to think about as we look at the race standings and as we follow the race in and of itself. I've done a little bit of an update on the current race standings in front of me, and it does look like there has been a change. And so in the news right here, we have in sixth position, Yor Ulstrom, the leading rookie, has arrived into Caltag this afternoon rather at 4:42 with 13 dogs. Took him about a little over 9.5 hours to make that run from Eagle Island to Caltag.
So they are coming to Caltag, mm-hmm. And KNOM's Laura Lykanen is in Caltag and talking to a lot of these mushers as they're arriving there. So we'll certainly be sharing those interviews with you as she shares them with us.
So stay tuned to KNOM for the full interview of Martin Boozer as he arrived in Caltag this afternoon, a little after 2 o'clock. For more KNOM Iditarod coverage, visit us on the web at www.knom.org. You can hear these interviews again, and you can discover some new interviews that just might not have made it on the air. Some great photos, some great pictures, and some great commentary for Iditarod 2013. The next KNOM Iditarod update will be at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning.